Okay.
Now, both sides, we're gonna try to do a lot today on Daf Yud Aleph, Omid Aleph, Yud Aleph, Omid Beis, Beis Hashem. We're about to start the Sugya of Eidus. I don't know if we'll get to start it today. The Sugya on Daf Yud Aleph, Omid Aleph is very, very challenging. And what the Gemara is trying to do is to try to find a cultivator. Yeah. Try to find some sort of a system in which the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda are consistent in their application of Gzeirah. What is the consistency here? You know, you find, for example, on the one hand, that Rabbi Yehuda sometimes says, well, we can't make the Gzeirah. We can't be bodei chametz because you might pop the chametz into your mouth, right? But later on, when it comes to the case of a Hevel Delish and Nifsak, there Rabbi Yehuda is going to forego the Gzeirah. Forfeit it. Or in the case of Chadash, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, the Ratzon Chachom, it's okay. And then if we switch gears over to the Chachamim, once again, there's a little bit of an inconsistency here, because the Rabbanan are not going to allow you to do Bedika after Shasis or Chametz, because maybe you'll pop the Chametz into your mouth. On the other hand, when it comes to Shvoferish or Beitza, for example, they get very, very nervous, right? Take a look inside. We have here, the Rabbanan are very machmir in Chadash. They're not very machmir in the case of chametz, correct? And when we get to shofer shel beitza, it says lo yikov adam shofer shel beitza v'imal shem. So there, they seem to be in favor of being machmir and implying and imposing and instituting the gzera. But then again, in the case of chevel dlish and nifsak, they're absolutely okay permitting aniva, as long as you don't do a kshira. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is afraid that if you allow aniva, you'll end up doing kshira. There doesn't seem to be any consistency. When we get to Bechar, again, we're going to flip, you know, inside out and upside down, because Rabbi Yehuda, all of a sudden, even though Bechar is what we call bedili minei, it's not like chametz, and yet he's very machmir, and he doesn't allow you to do any kind of hakazas dam, because you might come to be matil mum. So how do we set up a consistency here in which we define on the one hand the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and he's going to be consistent with Gzeros, and on the other hand the Shita of the Chachamim, and they should be consistent with Gzeros? So we have two choices at this fork in the road, right? On the one hand, what we can do is go through the Gemara line by line with Rashi and the few Tosas in here and really, really sweat it out. And I agree that that's what we should be doing. And I'm going to offer myself, you know, on another occasion to do that. But I'll tell you why I vote nay in this case. A lot of this work, which again, it's a Mele Shel Torah, and it's wonderful, and it should not be skipped. But it's not Pesach. I'd rather focus our energies on Masechta Pesachim. And we're really off on a tangent here. So the second alternative that I want to suggest is that instead of plowing through this Gemara line by line, we will shine the light, so to speak, on some of the lines of the Gemara and try to offer... We'll highlight, that was the word I was looking for. We'll highlight certain lines in the Gemara, certain pieces, and at the same time give an overview, what I call a sikkum, a summary, so that we walk out with something very clear from this sukkah. Do you have the page that I gave out today? Mm-hmm. Everybody has that? So I spent some time writing up what I call a summary of the sugya of Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda as far as Gzeros are concerned. On one side of the scorecard, we have the Chachamim Shita, and they really are in favor of Gzeros. Any time that they alleviate the Gzera, there's got to be some special reason why they did so. So for example, the universal rule will be that if we'll allow you to do something, then you might come to achila. If you look on the top of Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, what would be your paradigm of the Shitas Chachamim? Everybody look inside. Because I want to highlight that line. You know, again, if you had a yellow highlight, I would, you know, I don't want to mess with the Gemara's, but I would tell you to highlight the top line. This is going to set the background for the Shita of the Chachamim, even though it's mentioned in Rabbeinu's name, but Rabbeinu here belongs to this group called the Chachamim. And what is that? What is the subject? What is the issue that we're dealing with? Chadosh. In the case of Chadosh, and again, that's going to be our paradigm case for the Chachamim, we will institute a gzera that will not allow you to handle the kuli, or even before that, it's already been cut down. You know, the wheat has been cut down, and you might, well, it's still soft, you might be tempted to pop it into your mouth. So we want to avoid that. Correct? And therefore, the fact that you walked into the Shuk of Yerushalayim on the very day that the Omer was brought, and you found that the marketplace was filled with lechem, with koli, with caramel, that is shalom baratzon chachom. So chadosh, even though it's lo bedili minei, please make note of that, is going to be the rule of thumb that we apply in zera, because we're afraid that if you handle something, it eventually you're going to put it into your mouth and violate the Yisrachi. And we're going to see how the Chachamim are very consistent in the case of Shfoferes Shel Beitza. What Yisr is involved in Shfoferes Shel Beitza?
Extinguishing
the fire. Because if you're going to be tempted inadvertently to take from the Shfoferes Shel Beitza to supply your own table with oil, or to pour the oil into a salad, then you have caused kibud. Once again, the Chachamim are going to institute the Gzerah. And then, number three, we have the case of Chevel de Gardi, which is a rope of weavers, and the Chachamim will not allow you to use that, and that you'll see, again, if you want to highlight this, seven lines up before the end of the page, Koshrin Dli B'Paskia Avalo B'Chevel, in which the Chachamim in that Mishnah are prohibiting using a chevel, even though it's a chevel shel gardi. Does anybody know why technically in that case there's no meleches kshira, there's no violation and desecration of the Shabbos? What do you say? Well, I don't know if it's weak, but just in conceptual terms, in abstract terms, what is it? What element in Shabbos, in meleches Shabbos, is it lacking? Is it missing? It's not a kesher shel kayoma. In other words, every malach on Shabbos, in order to qualify as Chilul Shabbos, has to have an element of kayama. There's got to be a permanent malach. And for example, after we do Hagma on Shabbos, we'll tie the mantle around the Sefer Torah, but since we have an intention to take apart that knot, when?
On Mincha.
Mincha time and Mincha on Monday, right? So therefore, it's not a kesher shel kayom.
But I heard that a kesher that lasts more than 24 hours is considered a kesher shel kayom.
Oh, that's interesting. That might be in a case where you really wanted to leave it there for a long time. So 24 hours is enough. But if you from the get go wanted it to be there on a limited basis, then it's kesher sheinu shel kayom. So why the Chachamim so concerned with Chevel Shel Gardi? Rabbi Yehuda says, Adarabah, I'm going to advocate using a Chevel Shel Gardi. And the Chacham say, no. Today, this Shabbos, you're going to use a Chevel Shel Gardi, and next Shabbos, you're going to use a regular bona fide Chevel, which is a Kesh Shel Kayom. Or alternatively, you'll use a Chevel Shel Gardi, which is very expensive, but you'll decide, you know what, I already tied the Dli, you know, I tied this bucket down with this weaver's knot, the weaver's rope, and I'm going to leave it there already. I'll swallow the financial loss, and then it becomes a kesher shel kayom because you're too lazy to change the chevel. So once again, we have now three cases in which the Chachamim consistently apply gzeira, even though it's bedili minei. Number one, we found this in the case of chadosh. Mm-hmm. The Rabbanan are not going to allow you That's shalom baratzim chachamim. To handle the chadash, you might pop it into your mouth. Number two, we have it in the case of shofar shel beitza. We're setting up this cup that's, you know, the oil is coming down, is going to tempt you perhaps to take the oil for your own purposes and cause kibui. And number three, in the case of chevel dlisha nifsak, we're not going to allow you to use gardi, because who knows? Maybe you'll leave the gardi, then it'll become a kesher shel kayim. Nu, if this be the case, let's swing back to bedikas chametz. Chazal have a bedikas chametz even betoch. The chachamim have a bedikas chametz even betoch hamoed. When is an isur chametz? You're running around picking up the chametz, collecting it. You might what? Pop it into your mouth. So chametz, says the Gemara, becomes the exception to the rule. And that again, I would, if you had a yellow highlight, I would highlight that line in the Gemara. This is a major breakthrough. The Gemara says, "Hu atzmo." It's right above Tosis Korech. Hu atzmo mechazer olav l'sarfo mechel kol achil mine. He's on a search and destroy mission, and then he's going to eat it. Not possible. Again, the Chachamim are going to be very lenient in the case of aniva. If the chevel blish and ifsak, and you want to do a bow, you want to tie a bow, not a kesher. Kesher is a double knot, and instead use an aniva. We're not afraid that if we allow you, permit you to use an aniva, then tomorrow you're going to do kshira. Because according to Chachamim, aniva and kshira belong to two different worlds. They are so essentially different that one doesn't lead to the other. And once again, the Chachamim are consistent. In the case on the bottom of Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, namely Hakozas Dam Bibchar, which means that we're afraid of kachin, the Rabbanim are very laid back about it. No. You misunderstood. Chachamim, that's what the Gemara points out on Daf Yud Aleph on the days. It's not that the Chachamim are being laid back about it, but rather they chose the lesser of two evils. They said, don't do, they felt that if they, we tell you, don't do Hakozas Dam, and you're going to lose a Bechar, which is very valuable, Adam Bahul Al Mamono, you're going to go ahead and instead of listening to Chachamim, you're going to do a regular, unrestricted Hakozas Dam, which will be Matil Mumbakoch. The lesser of two evils is to allow you to do the Hakozas Dam, but do it in a very restricted way.
And how do they do it?
And they would only allow you to do it if you do it in a way that's not going to be Matil Mumbakoch. They're going to direct you how to get the blood out without creating a mum.
Because he would otherwise then do it.
Because if you tell him don't do it at all, you give him a carte blanche no, and you prohibit him straight across the board, he's going to eventually then, because he's Baal Al-Mamono, going to do our cousin with our tallest mum. So the best thing to do would be allow him, let's be lenient, let's forego the Xero, and hope that he will accept our restriction and do the Hakozah in a way that it doesn't create a mum b'kuch. Now let's switch gears over to Yehuda. And once again, we want to highlight certain things on the daf here. Rabbi Yehuda's general approach, as we saw in the case of chametz, is that we got to be very nervous. Why? Because chametz is lo v'dilei. So the key concept, the condition that sets off a gzera, you know, the red light, you have to make a gzera, the institution of gzera in Rabbi Yehuda's frame of reference, is called what? Lo bedilei. Now we have a consistency. What does Rabbi Yehuda say on the top of Daf Yud Aleph? Again, I would highlight the words Rabbi Yehuda Omer on the second line. Beratzim chacham ayu osin. We're not worried about chadosh. We're not going to institute gzera. Don't handle chadosh, because at the end you might come to eat it. Prepare the lechem, koli, the caramel, even before the heter achila of Omer. Why? Because where, how do we define the character of Chadosh? It's bedili minei. And since it's bedili minei, there's no need for example. So Rabbi Yehuda is very consistent. But what about the case of Shofares Shel Beitza? Why was Rabbi Yehuda so lenient in Shofares Shel Beitza? And once again, I would ask you to highlight the following words, and you'll find this below Tosus Kol. And there, Rabbi Yehuda Matir, it's about the fourth line. It's the third, one, two, three, four. It's the fourth line up before it gets wide. If you know, there's an L shape, right? And Rabbi Yehuda's Matir, why is he so Matir in the case of Shofar Shel Beitza? Well, if you're consistent, based on our distinction between Chametz and Chadash, how are you going to describe this Isur? Is it B'dili Mineh or Lo B'dili Mineh? It's got to be B'dili Mineh. Again, what we said in Chadash is Rabbi Yehuda will be Mekel in Chadash without instituting the Gzeir because Chadash is B'dili Mineh. In order to make some consistency out of Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to have to say that the case of Shabbos is also described as what? B'dili Mineh. Why is it B'dili Mineh? After all, the whole week long, he's setting up, you know, his Neros in such a way that it's feeding the, you know, it's feeding the Nair, right? The Shfaferis is feeding the Nair. So the Gemara says, Mishum Chumra, this Shabbos, B'dili Mineh. This is the third line up before the wide lines. And again, I would highlight that. So now, Shabbos, in Rabbi Yehuda's frame of reference, becomes equivalent to what? Chadash. And there's no need for exam because it's a case of B'dili Mineh. Now, if that be the case, I understand why Rabbi Yehuda is not going to allow a Chevel de Gardi. Right? Chevel de Gardi, today he might use... Oh, I'm sorry. In Chevel de Gardi, Rabbi Yehuda's Machmir, correct? Let me get this straight. No, I'm sorry. Rabbi Yehuda is Mekil. So that's fine. Why? Because how do we define Shabbos? Is it B'dil Mineh or Lo B'dil Mineh? What did we just finish saying? It's B'dil Mineh, so therefore, he can allow you to use a Chevel de Gardi. Ah, so far we're good, until we get to the case of what? Just one second. Of Aniva, correct? Oh, why is Rabbi Yehuda saying that Aniva is prohibited on Shabbos? Take a look at the last skinny line in the Gemara, highlight that with the first of the wide lines. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Korech Alefuna, Ubil Vachaloyan Venu. After all, Shabbos is considered B'dili Mineh. So what's the answer? The Gemara says that Aniva is not Gzeir at all. You misunderstood. Aniva itself is called a Kshu. Again, as long as you have Kavana to leave it there for a long period of time. But Aniva itself is Kshu. So that's a machlokas back in Masechta Shabbos, whether Aniva is included in the Kshiro or not. The Rabbanan hold that Aniva is different, radically different than Kshiro, and Rabbi Yehuda equates. In the case of Akazas Dam, which is a case of B'dili Mineh, Rabbi Yehuda gets very machmir. Take a look, two lines before the end of the daf. Bechar Shachso Dam, Afilu Humes, Ein Makizin Lo Dam. So the Gemara says, we turn to the base, and the Gemara says, Adam Bahul Al Mamono. Yishar Slay B'Makom She'ein Osim Bomom Asi L'Mevad B'Makom She'osim Bomom. Okay, Rabosai? So again, the key of keys, because I'm not going to go through the sugya inside during shiur. It's a little bit too complicated, and I think it's off the beaten path of psach. I will definitely bli neder offer myself for anyone who wants to sit down, find the time to go through the sugya. I'm not trying to harimosi as yodhi. But the basic key of keys here is that according to the Rabbanan, we will institute a gzera of Shem Yochlan. And that's the consistency of the Rabbanan. Chametz is a very unique exception because Machazer Olav L'Sof. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, does not have a gzera unless there are special reasons to institute that gzera. For example, in the case of Chametz, because Chametz is Lo B'dili Mineh, and in the case of Bechar, because Adam Bohu Amamona, Aniva and Shabbos is not even relevant to this discussion because it doesn't come under the rubric of what? Of Zera, but rather it's Gufa Shel Malefes.
Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't make a Gzera unless...
Rabbi Yehuda will not make a Gzera unless it's a case of Lo B'dili Mineh or Adam Bahul Al Mamona. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the rule of thumb is no Gzera. The exception to the rule is either X, Y, or Z. You know, then you have certain special reasons that generate Gzera, whether it's in the case of Chametz. I'm sorry, yeah, that's a Canadian Z, right? In the case of Chametz, because Lo B'dili Mineh, And in the case of Bechor, because of Adubol Amamono, and in the case of Haniva, because Haniva is Gufa Shalakshi. Good? Now we start the mission. We're now re-entering into the world of Masechta Pesachim, which for me is very exciting, because that's the Masechta I want to try to get a hold of, a grasp of this year. And this Mishnah is not new to us. We've already seen the Mishnah back on Daf Dalet in days when the Gemara wanted to establish that Chometz is Asur Midoraisa when? On Yud Dalet. And when on Yud Dalet? Midday, in the beginning of the seventh hour. The end of the sixth, beginning of the seventh. And Rashi points out back on Daf Dalet in days, just to refresh your memory, that we know from this Mishnah that there's an Iser Chametz Da'oraisa on Yud Dalet, because otherwise all the Gzeros of Rabbi Meir, which means the 6th hour, Rabbi Yehuda, which includes even the 5th hour, all those Gzeros would be nonsensical if the Iser Chametz commences with what? With Tezvav, with Pesach. Because there's no way a person would distinguish, would mar the distinction and confuse day and night. Day and night means that I look up the stars, they came out, I know it's night. You don't need to have what's the name of my watch? I mean, I only have it for about 10 years. A Casio watch, in order to know the difference between day and night. But if Chometz is also midoraisa, even during the day, if Bayom HaRisha Tashbisu means the 14th, now the Rabbanan are going to step in and say, well, even though midoraisa, the Easter starts at the beginning of the 7th, we are going to push Easter up, because people make mistakes. How much of a mistake will they make in the old days when they told time by the sun? Well, Rabbi Meir says 1 hour. The margin of error is 1 hour. Rabbi Yehuda says the margin of error is even greater. Some people get so confused they can even make a distinction of a mistake of how long? Of 2 hours. And that's how this whole Mishnah evolved. So that's the background of this. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ochlin Kol Chomesh. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ochlin Kol Arba. What does that imply? Not that you're allowed to eat chametz according to Rabbi Yehuda in the 5th hour.
No.
But do you destroy it at the beginning of the 5th hour? The Tolin Kol Chomesh. Rashi says you're allowed to feed it to your animals. It means it's mutter. But no, very strange. We have an anomaly here. We've got chametz, and we mentioned this in the past. Without a package deal, we're going to split down the middle. We're going to take the Isar Achila, but leave out the Isar Hanah. So everybody agrees that when do you destroy the Chometz?
6 hours.
Beginning of the 6th hour. 1 hour difference. The Odom Rabbi Yehuda, and this we're going to get into later on. It's not first. I will just read it through. Shtei Chalashol Todu Psulos Munachas Agabi Yitztava. They had a simon in which they would convey the message to the people. When do you have to stop eating the Chometz? When do you have to stop having hanah from the chametz? And they put these two chalos on the itztavah, you know, some sort of raised platform in a public square outside the Beis Hamikdash. Kol zman shemunachos, as long as the people noticed that both lachmei todah were there, ha'am kol ha'am ochlin nidla achas. If they saw that there was only one there and one not, I guess the cats didn't get there. Is tolin. Lo Ochlin, Lo Sarfin. They knew that one was taken away to convey the message that they can no longer eat the chametz, but they didn't have to burn the chametz. Only when both were removed is then Bischilu Kalam Sarfin. Now we have the sheet of Rabbi Gamliel. The main question here, Rabbi Gamliel, is how to relate Rabbi Gamliel to the machlokas that's in the ration between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Where does Rabbi Gamliel stand? Or is it a third sheet that's midway between the two? Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Chulin Necholim Kol Arba. What does that sound like? Who does that sound like?
Rabbi Yehuda.
Sounds exactly like Rabbi Yehuda. Except he added the word Chulin. Rabbi Yehuda didn't say that. Rabbi Yehuda implied, because he didn't qualify himself, that even Truma has to be prohibited, completely prohibited during the 5th hour. But Rabbi Gamliel says, well, let's limit the Easter comments in the 5th hour to what? To chulin. Truma. Truma is allowed to be eaten. Kol chamesh during the 5th hour. It was not included in the 2nd hour of Gzeirah from Yud. V'sarf mitchilash. So Rashi is going to try to take this apart for us, analyze why Rav Gamliel is so motivated to give us that extra hour, namely the fifth hour for Achilas Truma, and postpone the Sreifa of the Truma until the beginning of the sixth hour. Let's just look at Rashi Dibra Maskil Tolin Kol Chamish. Rashi says, V'eino ochel detoy v'savar al shviyas shi chamishas. Fine. A person might make a mistake according to a Yehuda Shita, and when the seventh hour comes around and chametz is also, he thinks it's the fifth hour. Tell him he should abstain from eating chametz even during the fifth hour. Miu lisrof ein etzorech umachil behemto. Aval shishis af ba'ana osur mirabonon gzeir mishum shvis. Rashi leaves us a little bit uncomfortable. Because on the one hand, Rashi says right up front that in understanding Rabbi Yehuda, you have to assume that a person might think that the seventh hour is the fifth hour. If that be the case, the fifth hour should be also even in Hanah. Rashi doesn't really explain that so well.
No, because once you're not eating it, you can then recognize it's the fifth hour and not the seventh hour. The issue is that if you were to be allowed to continue eating, then you would mess up the calculation.
No, but I don't understand, John. Once I tell you that you're not allowed to eat this, aren't you in your mind thinking that it's the seventh hour? No, you made a mistake. You thought that the seventh hour is the fifth hour. Now, it's really, in truth, it's the seventh hour. We don't want you to eat then. Chametz also be the rice in there. So we tell you abstain from achil.
But at the fourth hour. So therefore you're not
at the end of the fourth
hour. Abstained at the end of the fourth hour. So Rebbe's trying to say, Rebbe's saying that at the end of the fourth hour is going to be the end of the sixth hour?
No. What I'm saying is that it's on the clock, it's the seventh hour. You don't know that. You think it's the fifth hour. So we convey to you a message, buddy, it's the seventh hour. You know, you think it's the fifth hour. How do we convey that message? By telling you that even if it were the fifth hour, don't eat the chametz. But if that be the case, if we're starting with the premise, the get-go is that you might think that the fifth hour is, you might think that the seventh hour is the fifth hour, if that's your mistake, then shouldn't we be telling you, don't feed the chametz to your dog, because you'll be...
No, because I think once you're already... How I understood Rashi is that since somebody's going to be eating it, they're not going to know what time it is, but if the person's being very careful to make sure they're finished eating chametz by the fourth hour, after 4 hours, they're going to calculate the hours properly, and they're not going to come to this mistake.
Maybe. I didn't... Does anybody see what Shalom's saying? I'm not trying to be argumentative, I just don't...
I have a question in general, which might help us understand this a little bit better, is that how did they tell time back then?
I think they told time from the sun. They didn't have watches. No, they had sundials. And the sundial moves, I don't know exactly... I don't know, I guess it was... It was difficult. You know, many people just looked at the sun. You know, they look at the sun and they don't realize that the sun is already hit its zenith point. It's already the seventh hour. They think it's much earlier. So they continue eating chametz, and little unbeknown to them, it's already the seventh hour. Right. I'm just saying that it's a little bit odd that we split between the Isra Achil and the Isra Anah, the Pnei Yoshua here to explain Rashi, but again, he's adding another piece to the puzzle. He says that what Rashi really means is that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees it's unlikely that you'll make such a mistake, a vast mistake of 2 hours. That wasn't usual. So when it comes to the Isra Achila, he says, which is an Isra Chamur, that's an Isra Lav, and you get Malkus for it, or whatever it might be. Therefore, the Chacham have to be very careful. Even for that mute, even for that percentage of people, low percentage point of people, that would make such a gross error of 2 hours, nevertheless, we're going to prohibit Achila to take care of that. But Hanah is an Isra Kal, relative to Achila, it's not such a severe. What I'd like to study with you is the Rambam. The Rambam is very fascinating. Have you seen this Rambam? Coming to Matzah Perek Aleph Halacha the Tes. I brought the wrong Rambam in. Okay.
I have.
You have the Rambam
in the back.
All right. It doesn't matter. I'll find it here.
No, I have it.
But you have like little Moshe Levin. You've been learning all morning. Yeah. He's learning Gemara, and he loses track of time, and he doesn't have a way of telling it because it's a stormy day out. So it's not that hard for him to get confused.
Yeah, I'm not saying, but you have to admit that when Rabbi Yehuda expanded, this chashash of toes, to include a two-hour period of time, a margin of 2 hours, says the Pnei Yeshua, that's not for everyone. Yeah, so let's say, again, he doesn't give numbers, but let's say 50% of the population knows exactly what time it is. An additional 25% will make, an additional 30-40% might make a mistake of even 2 hours. And of an hour, I'm sorry. And 10% of the population will make an extent of even a mistake of even 2 hours. So really, technically, we didn't have to worry about that 10%. We're going to be super duper machmir because chametz is lo b'dilimine, and we're going to tell him already in the 5th hour, stop eating chametz. But we didn't go as far as to prohibit hanyon. The Rambam says the following: Shach hamishis ein ochlin ba chametz. Who does he paskin like? Like Rabbi Yehud. Gzeira mishum yom hamu'unan. We're worried about a cloudy day. So on a cloudy day, there might be a whole group of people that make this mistake. But the Rambam goes on to say, V'eino osur ba'anoya b'shach hamishis. There's no isra anah on the 5th hour. L'fichach tolin ba truma v'lach mitoda v'chayotze mechametz. Shu kodesh, lo ochlin velo sarfin, ad shetagia shah shishis v'sarfin hakol. Now listen to the language of the Rambam again. I'm going to repeat this because I wanted to let it sink. And he says, Asru chachamim lechol chametz mitchila shah shishis. Umitchilas shah shishis yehi chametz aser b'achilu b'hana kol shah shishis midiri sofer. It's very interesting. The Rambam divides up his discussion of the rabbinic iser chametz on erev Pesach into two different paragraphs, and he's very outspoken about this. You know, on the one hand, he says when it comes to the shah shishis, he's very, very clear. He says, "Asru chachamim lechol chametz mitchilas shashishis." Asru chachamim. He repeats himself. Umitchilas shashishis yei chametz asur b'achilu b'ano. But when he gets to shah chamishis, he says, "Shah chamishis ein ochlim ba." He doesn't say, like he said with regard to Shah Shishis, Chachamim Asru Lechol Chametz B'Shah Chamishis U'mitchila Shah Chamishis Yehi Chametz Asru. Only when he gets to the 6th hour, then he says U'mitchila Shah Shishis Yehi Chametz Asru Bachi. If I didn't know any better, I would say that according to the Rambam, the Chachamim did not Asr Chametz during the 5th hour. Because only when he gets to the 6th hour, he says Asru Chacham Lechol Chametz U'mitchila Shah Shishis Yehi Chametz Asur Bach. He never says that Chametz is Asur in the 5th hour. Those words don't come out of the Rambam's mouth. He never mentions the Chachamim with regard to the Isur. He never says the Chametz is Asur in the 5th hour. He gets to the 6th hour. He hits us with a double barrel. He says, first of all, Chacham Asur Chametz in the 6th hour, and not only that, the Chametz is Asur in the 6th hour. When it comes to the 5th hour, he doesn't mention the Chachamim, he doesn't say the Chametz is also. He's obviously working overtime, the Rambam, to explain that there's some sort of fundamental difference between the 5th hour and the 6th hour. He says in the 5th hour, ain't no clue about Chametz. He doesn't tell you the Chachamim is the Chametz. He doesn't tell you the Chametz is also, Rachilu. Ain't no clue about Chametz. What is the nature of the 5th hour according to the Rambam? How is it so different than the 6th hour? And the 6th hour is not a buffer. Very strange. Oh, let's talk about Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel is going to say that we have a problem here of Sreifas Kodshim, of Sreifas Truma, Lach Meitoda. And therefore, Rabbi Gamliel is going to say that we cannot burn this Chametz just like that. He says the following. Rambam says that b'shach hamishis, we don't burn the truma or the lach meitoda. until we get to the sixth hour. Now, what's the difference between Lachmei Toda or Truma, for that matter, that's Chometz, in the fifth hour and the sixth hour? You're allowing me to burn this Truma in the sixth hour. Why? Because it's awesome. Nuv in the fifth hour, it's also awesome. The Rabbi said, ain't awkward. What does Hanah have? You're not allowed to have Hanah from Kachim. Kachim is also Hanah. If there were Lachmei Toda, Ksheros, on this table, what benefit can you gain from Lachmei Toda? No benefit whatsoever. That would be an Isur. Kohen maybe, but I'm in Israel, so what's my issue over here? If there's no Kohenim around to eat it. So I want to share with you a fascinating insight of the Brisker Rav. Do we know who the Brisker Rav was? Just a little historical background. Excellent, Rav Yitzchak Zev. Who is his father? Do you know? Rav Chaim. I'm very impressed. Rav Chaim was the Rav in Brisk, a city in Litha. And when Rav Chaim died, his son Rav Yitzchak Zev took over for him. He inherited the Rabbanus. Even though, by the way, he was the younger brother of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who married off my parents. I don't know why Rav Moshe didn't get that Rabbanus in Brisk, but anyway, they appointed the Brisker Rav. And he, not only did he take over his father's Rabbanus, but he really, in a sense, he stepped up to the plate and took over his father's Derech HaLimud, you know, his approach to learning. And this is a very typical example of the Brisker Rav as an outstanding disciple of his father, Reb Chaim. The fundamental difference between Chometz in the fifth hour, according to Reb Yehuda, and Chometz in the sixth hour, is that Chometz is only Chometz in the sixth hour. Meaning, the emergence, the stature, the state of Chometz, I'll read to you his language. He says, Chalkinu Litarte. There's a fundamental difference that you see in the Rambam. The Mishar Shishu Sulamala HaChametz Asur Kimosha Asur Minatorah. When the Rabbanan prohibited Chametz in the sixth hour, they prohibited it in the same way that the Torah prohibits it in the seventh hour. Vahavi Bechlal Chametz. This is the language of the Brisker Rav. He says, Chametz in the sixth hour is included on the Chametz. Albeit Shal Devram, it's only been Rabbanan, but it's included on the Chametz. Kimo Sha'asur B'Shar Yom in HaTorah. He says, but Isuro B'Shar Chamish is Din Acher Yeshlo. The fifth hour is a whole different din. V'eino Bechlal Chametz Shal Devram. It's not included in Chametz, even mid Rabbanan. He says that's why the Rambam writes. Okay, this is already. Let me just see if this is a crucial part. I don't want to get off on a tangent. The Rambam writes the following in Halacha Yud in the same perek, that if a person eats chametz in the sixth hour, he gets malchus. Anybody know what that Malchus is called in the Rambam's language? Or in the language of Shas? If he eats Chametz in the sixth hour, he gets Malchus. What was that called? Anybody remember?
Mardus?
Correct, Malchus Mardus. Malchus Mardus is the punishment for violating an Isur Derabbanan. But the Rambam holds that if he eats Chametz in the fifth hour, he doesn't get Malchus even Makis Mardus. Why? He says, Ad Shach Shishis Gam Makis Mardus Lekha Vahainik Mosh Kasavnu Shemitchilas Shishis Isur Chomet Shaloki Isur Chomet Shal Sharayon. Kakta Zeisur Menatora, the local of Menatora Zeisur Medivreyem, the local of Bemakis Mardus. Aval Isura Beshach Hamishis, who din Acher Legamre. It's a whole different din. And therefore, Tolin, in the case of the fifth hour, lo ochliv lo sarfim b'shal chamishas, Mishum da chametz eino adayin asur beisur chefta. This is the brisket there, right? He says chametz in the fifth hour is not an isur chefta. What is it then? What is it if it's not an isur chefta? If it's not chametz, it's an isur
gavra.
Exactly. The Chachamah telling the Gavra, stay away from this chametz. It's like, what should I say? It's like Yom Kippur. You know, there's nothing inherently wrong with the food stuff on Yom Kippur. We just say, V'nisem, you better stay away from the food. Or if you take it upon yourself to fast. That's called an Isur Gavra. Chametz is an Isur Chefta, but only from the sixth hour. The fifth hour is only an Isur Gavra. And therefore, the Rambam says, Lo Ochlim, Lo Sarfim. Ulahachi ispe adayin mishum ibud kachim. Even though lamaisa these kachim, you're not allowed, you can't benefit from them because they're kachim. So the fifth hour, even if it allows you to have hanoah, that hanoah doesn't express itself lamaisa in practical terms on the fifth hour. But nevertheless, it's not yet chametz. And if it's not yet chametz, then you can't destroy it. It's truma and it's not chametz. Mashenke b'shal shishis, dekfar hu osur min rabbanan be'isur chefta. Midivreyem is shuv mutal sarfo. I need the emergence of the shame chametz in the chefta, that inherent in the object is chametz, with a shame iser chametz bechefta. That's what allows me to destroy the kachim. But that only applies when? When does the iser chametz in chefta emerge? Only during the sixth hour. You can't burn kachim in the fifth hour. Even though lemaisi can't have any benefit from them, but there's no heter to destroy the kodesh because it's not chametz. And therefore we understand very well that if a person eats chametz in the fifth hour, he doesn't get makas mardus for that, because he's not eating a cheftish al chametz. And now we understand why the Chachamim said we can be more lenient as far as the Isra Anah is concerned. Because when they prohibited cheftish al chametz, namely the sixth hour, the whole package deal is incurred, and therefore even Anah is included in the package deal. Because that's the nature of the Isra chametz that the Torah recognized. But we get to the fifth hour, which is only an Isra Gavra. That Isa Gavra was formulated only with regard to Achila, but not with regard to Adam. And then Afkamina is going to be Ibud Kodshim. The Isa of Ibud Kodshim is alleviated when it's Chavetz. That's only in the sixth hour, then you burn. So you have Truma Shal Chavetz, in the sixth hour you burn. But in the fifth hour, where the Chavetz itself is not Chavetz, there's nothing inherently evil or, you know, detestable about the chametz, there's nothing contaminated inherent in the chametz, it's only the gavra has to stay away from it, then, if it's not chametz, there's no heter to destroy it, you can't burn it, because that would constitute ibud kodesh. So that's the brisket rov that you'll see. I told you on the page here, it's Roman numeral number 3. Yeah.
A side question. Rabbi Yehuda says, by the fifth hour, you can't touch it. You can have hanoah, but you can't eat it. Isn't that gezeira?
When you say you can't touch it, I get a little nervous.
No.
Okay. Because you can feed it to your dog.
Yeah, you can touch it. So, but aren't the rabban that the sixth hour was a gezeira the rabban, right?
Yes.
And then Rabbi Yehuda is making another gezeira. Didn't we say on Monday that you can't make
gezeirah? Right, so that, the answer to your question is a principle called Kula Chavetziri. And this you'll see throughout Shas, that sometimes in the original gezeirah, right, in the original gezeirah, they extended the gezeirah to include not just A, but also B. Here, in this case, the gzeira was made because of toes.
Yeah.
And that toes, the margin of error, according to Rabbi Yehuda, right, this is Rabbi Yehuda Shita, is two shots.
Okay.
So it wasn't like they made gzeira A and then they made gzeira B.
Right.
Now, according to the brisket rav that we just learned, Hidusha Griz al Rama, your question becomes quite fascinating. Because what we start with in the sixth hour, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is an Isur Chefta, in which the Shem Chametz emerges with all the demon. Then you're allowed to burn it. It's also Mahanah. If you eat it, you get Malkus, Makas Mardus. But the fifth hour, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is a separate Isur Gavra.
So it's B.
And that's a little bit odd because of the rule of Ein Gozer and Gzeira L'Gzeira. But again, the answer is that we don't see even the Isur Gavra of the fifth hour as a separate Gzeira. It was all part of the way the Chazal designed and packaged the original Gzeira, because the Machayev of the Gzeira is Toros, and the Toros is a 2-hour margin of error.
What's stopping the rabbis from cutting it short all the way? Maybe we, potentially someone might make a mistake 3 hours.
Yeah. That's what the Gemara now is going to reject. There's no possibility of a 3-hour error. And that's going to have tremendous repercussions as far as the laws of what? If anybody saw the Gemara? Edut. What does Edut mean?
Testimony.
Because what happens, just a little background, the segue into the next piece of Gemara, which is a beautiful Gemara that I'm going to really enjoy with you. It goes on all the way till you bet on bet. And that's the question of two witnesses who come in front of a Beis Din to testify, let's say for a dramatic, we'll dramatize it in a murder case, accusing Reuven of killing Shimon. And one aide, when we question him and investigate him, he gives you one answer to the question, when did this happen? And the other aide gives you a different. So is there a margin of error which allows us to assume that both aides are really saying the same thing and are testifying at the same time? And you'll see, Yoshua, as we go through the Gemara, it's shown that a 3-hour margin of error is impossible.
You think about the sun, the rising and setting. 2 hours is possible, but 3 hours is a big difference where the sun's going to be.
Right. Even on a. Also, a lot of time has passed, you know. So you have a sense that, you know, the physical body almost has a sense of time going by. I don't know.
Well, somebody was bloodletting and then they saw a murder.
Right. But let me ask you a question. I just want to ask you one question. When you wake up in the morning, and maybe I'm projecting myself onto you, do you have a sense of more or less what time it is even before you look at your watch? No? Not so much? You could be off by 3 hours?
No.
I can. Frankly, I can tell you almost to the minute what time it is without looking at my watch.
You're used to it. You're used to waking up at the same time.
No. I wake up at a different time. There's a large margin of difference, you know. I'm very rarely off by more than 10-15 minutes before I look at the clock, even if it's different times. Yeah, I can sometimes wake up in the middle of the night, it's 3:30 in the morning, and I'm going to tell you what time it is. Other times I wake up at 7, I think 6.
Even when Rabbi's jet lag, because when I was jet lag in Israel, I couldn't tell the time.
Jet lag, jet lag,
I slept 15 hours, it was at 6 p.m.
Wow.
And I woke up, I still kind of knew what time I was. But that's because
my children call that a bagel. I don't know if
you
remember.
Yeah, bagel. Yeah.
12 hours is a bagel. It's a, you did the whole swing.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at the Gemara, Rabbo. Sorry.
That was because my window was there and I could kind of like see the light and stuff. But if my question is, all the people who like are in hospital or in jails or something where it's dark, how do they know the difference? I mean.
Yeah, in those cases, I think they're going to have to figure out how they. In other words, if you're in a situation where you can't determine what hour it is, and you're living in darkness, you're going to have to figure out exactly what's, you know, I don't know what system you're
in.
If you're up, for example, I think there are places called Helsinki. You heard of Helsinki? Yeah, I heard. Somebody told me that in Finland they have six months of darkness or something, or close to it.
Close, they can get the
St. Petersburg. I remember I was in St. Petersburg once. They couldn't daven on Shabbos before 11 a.m.
I was on a ship going up to Norway, and it was Shabbos just kept on being extended because we were going towards where the sun was setting. So we're like, we can't daven. Like, it took a lot longer.
I remember, and when I got to St. Petersburg, I figured why there's certain Hasidic groups daven very late. You know, they get used to those months of the year when you can't daven before 11 a.m.
Even Tansos is still out.
So, Rabosa, I wanted to point out to you, first of all, before we start the Gemara, look at the last Rashi in the Mishnah. V'sarfim b'tchila shesh. And Rashi says, Davadai ruba to'u ben shesh l'sheva. Very interesting Rashi. Rashi says, most people, that's a very heavy statement, most people
that didn't have watches
will make a mistake between the 6th and the 7th hour. Okay? So the Pnei Yeshua points out what motivated Rashi to come to this conclusion. He says two things. First of all, Rashi wanted to answer the question, why is it that everybody agrees that the 6th hour is Osir, and not everybody agrees in the case of the 5th hour? And not only that, Rav Yudah says in the case of the 5th hour, it's only Osir B'Achila, not B'Hanah. and the Pnei Yeshua could add to boot the question, why is it that we don't destroy chametz during the fifth hour, according to Rabbi Yehuda? Say Truma's chametz. So the answer is, says Rashi, that even within the framework of Rabbi Yehuda, there's a difference between the sixth hour and the fifth hour. Only in the sixth hour we're in a rove zone, rove tov zone. It's most people. And therefore, Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are going to are both going to agree with you with the halacha of Sofer B'Tchilas Sheikh. We can't allow chametz to be sitting around at the beginning of the sixth hour because most people will make that mistake. Now I don't know if Rashi means that most people make that mistake every day of the year, but at some point or other they make this mistake. It's a common mistake for most people. It's common for most people. But when we get to the fifth hour already, Rabbi Yehuda is breaking new ground. We saw the first rov, it's only Nisa Gavra. There Rashi says, nobody would say rov b'nei Adam, and then making that two-hour error. And therefore the fifth hour is different than the sixth hour. You could really fit the brisker rov into this Rashi. All right, let's start the Gemara. Tanan Hasam. Does anybody know what Hasam refers to? What Masechet and Shas? Because we're going to be learning a whole different Masechta for a while.
Sanhedrin.
This is Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin is your first address for the laws of Edus. What would be a second address, but it's much less comprehensive?
Makot.
Masechta Makot. Makot really focuses on one particular dimension of the laws of Edus, and that is what? Hazama. Edusom. But the real laws of Eidus, how you construct Eidus, and what investigations, and when we consider Eidus Mechuvenes, that the two are saying, that's in Masechta, the address for that is Masechta Sanhedrin. And the Mishnah says the following. This is called the Mishnah of Chakiros, because there are two Mishnahs, there's Chakiros and there's Bedikos. Anybody know how many questions there are that are called Chakiros?
Seven,
correct, excellent. And those seven are questions which the Edom absolutely have to answer. Then we get into Bedikos. How many Bedikos are there? Endless. But what option do the Edom have in the case of Bedikos, which they don't have in the
answer?
Cannot answer. They can demur, they can say, we just don't know.
What are the Hakiros? Are they the same in every...
Hakiros are always standard.
So meaning
and they basically revolve around two concepts. Like Zman and Mokom. Okay, Zman and Mokom.
If they know what Chakiros are going to be asked, can't the Edom just say to each other these seven things and then some...
There's a famous story you remind me about. There was a city in Lita where there were two witnesses that were testifying, and they said the exact same thing. We took them into separate rooms, we investigated, and it was like to the team. And the Dayanim, the judge, didn't know what to do. They couldn't mess up these Edom. They had rehearsed it perfectly. So at the end, they were about to accept their Edus, but somebody said, one of the judges says, let's take this case to the Vilna Gaon. And he was considered the genius of the generation. And he investigated the Edom, one after the other, and he was absolutely convinced that this was pre-rehearsed. So he started yelling at the Edom. And he said to them, you're a bunch of liars, and if you don't admit the truth, we're going to do this to you, do that to you. And finally they broke down and they admitted that they had done this. And when the Dayanim said, how did you know that they were false? He says, it's impossible for two Eidim to know everything exactly and be machaving their Eidus perfectly. They must have done this in collusion. And this reminds me of another story that I want to tell you. My wife took a course in psychology way back in the day, and the psychologist set it up that somebody would come into the room, somebody burst in, this was all pre-planned, somebody burst into the room and committed murder, so to speak. It wasn't a real murder, but... And then they ran out of the room. And then the professor asked the students, what did they see? And no two people saw the same thing. Everyone had a different version of the story. How did he kill him, and what he was wearing, and this and that. I mean, by then they knew it was, obviously it was just ketchup or whatever it was, but the point is that the psychologist wanted, and my wife remembers this so many decades later because it was so dramatic, that no, you know, in a natural world, people see different things. So for the Eidim to exactly get everything right, the God knew that
they hear different things also.
They hear different things. They see the
suspicious.
So Tnan Hasam Echad Omer B'Shnayim B'Chodesh, the Echad Omer B'Shlosha B'Chodesh Eidusan Kayemus. Now what happened here? There's a discrepancy of how much?
One day.
Of one day, correct? And yet, even though on the calendar, one says it was the 2nd of Kislev, and the other said it was the 3rd of Kislev, nevertheless, a dusan kayemes. That's very fascinating. There's a discrepancy of a day. So the Mishnah explains why. Sheze yodea bi'iburo shel chodesh, v'ze eino yodea bi'iburo shel chodesh. Okay, we'll come right back to this in just a second. Echad omer b'shlosha, if one says that it happened on the 3rd hour of the day, the Echad Omer, no, I'm sorry, on the 3rd day of the month, the Echad Omer Behei on the 5th day of the month, so now there's a discrepancy of 2 days, a Dusan Betela, then there's no way of reconciling the two, we have to throw out the Eidus.
I have an extra pencil.
I have a pen, but not a pencil. Is that good?
No.
So, see if you can catch that.
As long as I make the
right
punctuation.
Echad Omer, now we get to Shavuos. Okay, so we figured out the day, and they both said it was on the same calendar day or a discrepancy of one day. Now we go on to ask them, interrogate them as far as the hour of the day. That's also one of the Sheva Chakiros. So Echad Omer B'Shalosh, one said it happened on the 3rd hour of the day, the Echad Omer Bechamesh on the 5th hour of the day. One second, I think I skipped something. Echad Omer B'Shtei Shalos, the Echad Omer B'Sholosh Shalos. So there's a discrepancy of 1 hour, a Dusan Kayemes. Echad Omer B'Sholosh, the Echad Omer Bechamesh, a Dusan B'Tela. Why? Because there's a discrepancy of 2 hours. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So within the context of Rabbi Meir sort of gives us a very easy way of remembering this, because it's exactly parallel to what we saw in Yamin. Yes, you could have a discrepancy of one, but not of two. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, a dusan kayemes. Even though there's a discrepancy of 2 hours, Rabbi Yehuda says we have to allow for a mistake of 2 hours. Even though when it comes to Yamin, we would not allow for a discrepancy of 2 days, but in the case of hours, it's very plausible that they're both testifying about the same thing, even though there's a discrepancy of 2 hours. However, here's the case that everybody agrees to. Echad Omer B'Chamesh. Now, Chamesh belongs to what part of the day? Morning or afternoon?
Morning.
The Echad Omer B'Sheva.
Other guy says at night, so I think afternoon.
Is then, even though the Rabbi Yehuda allows for a discrepancy of 2 hours, that's only in the case of 3 and 5, which are both morning hours. But now that we've already crossed the borderline into the afternoon, is a Dusan B'Tela?
No. I see why the Gemara is saying this, but at the same time, if one person's standing one way, another guy's facing the other way, and they don't know the direction they're facing, you can legitimately think one guy thinks it's 7, another guy thinks it's 5, because when I'm standing here, the sun's there, and another guy's standing there.
You mean like north and south or something like that? Or, you know, it's one's facing north?
He has no directions necessarily.
Well, let's just read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Shebechamesh, Chama
B'Mizrach. I think there is a difference.
At 5, the sun is in the east. U'Besheva, Chama B'Marav. The Mishnah says that at 7, the sun has already reached its zenith, and it's now pointing towards the west. Good.
They knew the difference between east and west.
Right. So that's what Sholem's pointing out. If they know north and south, then they can know east and west.
Yeah, but if you don't know them, you're going to be finding something in the middle of nowhere.
This whole sugya seems to be predicated on the assumption that they know whether they're facing north or south.
If you're living,
so that now you know where the east and west is.
I mean, if you're living during a time, the assumption would be that.
But you could also become disoriented.
I guess in the heat of the moment, I guess you could.
Okay, Rabosai, let me call your attention to the following. Rashi says the following. Echad Omer B'Shnayim B'Chodesh Horeg Zes HaNefesh V'Echad Omer B'Meinim B'Shlosha B'Chodesh. So one says it was the 2nd of the month, the other said it is the 3rd of the month. Say, do some kayemes. Ubezdin hayu bodkim oso b'shevach hakiros kidol kavod. And we're going to see that the date, the calendar date, is one of the seven chakiros, and they have to know precisely when it was. They came into hushvu shneiam lomar b'shlisha b'revi, since they were close enough, the two edim. One said the third day of the month, the other the fourth. Ukshabodkum. Oh, now. Perk up. Look what Rashi says here. Ukshabodkum eze yom b'chodesh. We've been talking about what day of the month it is. Right? Omar zeb sheni v'zeb shlishi. But Rashi says when we asked them what day of the week it was, then they both knew that it was Tuesday. Right? So shneim al yom echad hiidu. So Rashi goes out of his way to say that although there's a discrepancy in terms of the day of the month, but they were both hushvu shneim. Please underline that hushvu shneim. And they both said it was on Shlishi of the week. It was the third day of the week. Or Bervi, the fourth day of the week. So even though when we got to the Chodesh, there's a discrepancy of one day, that's, I have a very simple explanation, a justification for this discrepancy. Sheze yada bi'iburo shal Chodesh. One of them knew, he was aware of the fact, Shechodesh ha'avar mole, right? They didn't see the new moon until the 30th day of the month. And therefore, hukva rosh chodesh biyom shloshim the echad. So this one, the first one who said it was on shlishi, he realized that the previous month was mole. So rosh chodesh is on the 31st. V'zeh shomer v'shnayim v'chodesh yadabo. So if the previous month was Mole, then we have to subtract the day. So then that day of the month is called the second day of the month. If on the other hand the previous month was a Chaser, so then we have to subtract the day of the month, and therefore it's the second day of the month. Did I get that right? Let me say it one more time, just to make sure we got it. It's good. Assuming the previous month was Mu'ubar, correct? Was a mole. Then.
Is that how they worked back then? Still like a 31 days and a 30 days?
Correct. It was either the 30th day was Rosh Chodesh or the 31st day was Rosh Chodesh. If the previous month was a Chasid, then the 30th day was Rosh Chodesh, was the first day of the next month. If the previous month was a mole, then the 31st day was Nikba as Rosh Chodesh. Correct? And then Afkamina is going to be a difference of one day. So therefore, if you know that the Chodesh was Mole, and therefore the 31st day is the first day of the new month, so then you subtract a day in the new month, and you're up to the second day of the month. If on the other hand, you thought that the previous month was a Chaser, and therefore the 30th day is Rosh Chodesh, so then you expand the next month. You add an extra day to the next month. The yesh toim b'kach. So please underline those words, yesh toim b'kach. There are those who make that mistake. Afal pi, says Rashi, shemitzuvim anu l'chalik esei dusom. Now, what should be our role? Meaning, what should be the attitude of the dayanim? Are we trying to reconcile the two edim or trying to split them? And undermine the edim. So are we pro-edus or anti-edus? So Rashi says we should be anti-Aedus. Mitzuvim anu l'chalik esei dusam. Why? What do we gain by showing the discrepancy and disqualifying the Aedim? Kadesh tevatel lahatzil es hanefesh. Because we want to save the need on the accused. But nevertheless, in this case, ein biyodeinu koach l'chalka. Since this mistake is very common, then what justification do we have to create a sort of discrepancy and split the Edom and disqualify it? So Tosfos asks in the name of the Riva, in the second line, Hiksha Riva, Ma Ilu Daikinon Bahari Sade. Had we been very careful about these Edom, the Travayu Yodim Bibura Shal Chodesh, maybe we would find out that both of them knew it was a Chodesh Mu'ubar.
Is Tosfos?
This is the top Tosfos on the page, Hiksha Riva, in the second line. He's saying, had we investigated the Edom properly, we may have actually determined that there is a discrepancy between the two. You're playing this naive game, you know, like as if you're blind. Why don't you find out? Maybe you'll discover that both Adam knew that the Chodesh Sha'avar the previous month was Mu'uvar. Investigate them about that. And then if they both knew that, how will they Adam's Mukheshes? The Eich Nekum, how can we possibly stand up? The Niktol, and we'll kill somebody? Misfeka? When we're in doubt, we're in the dark because we didn't investigate whether they both knew it was Mu'uvar, they didn't know it was Mu'uvar. And he proves from a Gemara in Sanhedrin that that's exactly what we have to do. We have to investigate the Edom in a way that we can finally determine that there's some irreconcilable discrepancy between the two Edom in order to throw out the Edom and save the Nidom. So here, all you had to do, what are you, lazy? Just find out if they both knew about the Ibor or not. Investigate them. We're playing this naive game as if we're innocent and assuming one knew about the Ibor and one didn't know in order to reconcile the Edom and qualify these. Why don't we play the exact opposite role? Let's be afraid. Let's protect the interests of the Nidon, you know, who stands as the accused to lose his life, and investigate the Edom and find out. Maybe lo and behold, we'll find out that both of the Edom knew about the Ibra Chodesh. And therefore there is a tremendous discrepancy when one said it happened on the second day, one the other. Why are you playing this innocent game? You're just a naive child over here. But you should be very careful.
But you already know that, then. Isn't it already possible? Like, why would...
The Mishnah says, and nobody disagrees with this, that if there's only a discrepancy of one day, so Reuven, one witness said it happened on the second of the month, Shimon says, second witness says it happened on the third day of the month, we're going to kill the Nidon. We're going to put to death a person who's on trial, because we're going to reconcile the two Edom. Says Tosus, at least find out. What are you doing over here? Ask. Maybe you'll discover they both knew that it was that the previous month was Mu'uvar. It's a very strong passage, Tosus, and he proves that this is the way we should do it from a Gemara in Perek Ben Sora Mor in Sanhedrin. V'yesh lomar dehocha daikinan b'ushapir. We are being medayim. We are convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are both talking about the same day. Why is that? Kevan the shaili luhu b'eze yom. Remember, we saw in Rashi that we investigated and asked them what day of the week it was. And they both said it was the same of the week. If two people say it happened on Tuesday, one said it was the third day of the month, the other says it's the second day of the month. It's called Mechavli liyom echad, shma minod, shezeh lo yoda. That is a fulfillment of our requirement, our obligation, and responsibility to be absolutely clear that the Edom are talking about the same day. Okay, then we'll stop here. Do you follow how that answers the Kasha Tosis? Tosis is saying since they both said it was on Tuesday, now we have to research. Well, what day of the month was Tuesday? And you'll probably come up amongst the populace with many, many different answers to that question. Well, only two answers, I should say.
And then I actually didn't even mention it, I went for one.